yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Sunday night's main event, Money in the Bank After Party, brought to you by Great Lakes Brewery. I'm still using the Forbidden Door thing because I like the look of this door. Please welcome to the stage, and by stage, I mean screen, and by screen, I mean place in there, a place where they've got decent Wi-Fi. It's Mike McGuire and Boris Aguilar.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wrestling fans, and SNME Radio family, welcome to the Sunday night's main event, Money in the Bank 2022 After Party. I'm coming to you this time live from Calgary, Alberta, home of one birthday boy, Brett the Hitman Hart. And we have not only myself, not only Mark Andrada, who we're going to call on numerous times to give his thoughts on this show that he watched very diligently. But Mark Andrada, of course, is running the ship and here to take us through the show that just was, the one and only Boris Roberto Aguilar. How are you, big man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I saw someone already on the chat saying they love that it's daylight where I am right now. Yeah, this is Calgary, man. If I was in Edmonton right now, there would actually be sunny daylight. But no, I made it through a wicked rainstorm to get here. So I'm happy to be here now.
Excellent. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I guess we're here to chat some Money in the Bank. But Mike, before we get started going through the show, I got to ask you off the top. Yeah. Yes, no, did you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. What did you think of the show?
Well, boy. I would have to say it was in the middle. I thought it was satisfactory. Now, there were things obviously I liked, things I didn't like, but we'll get to that as we go through the show. How about you?
I think it's firmly in the middle, honestly. Like, it wasn't a bad show. I think that we did some good surprises, which we'll get to. We got some stuff that, you know, some not so surprises, and that's fine as well. But the show was fine. Like, you know, I think as we go through it, we're gonna really talk about, you know, some of the good, the bad, and some of the WTFs.
Well, there was definitely a couple of those moments in this show for sure, and of course we want your feedback as well out there. Thank you to all the SNME Radio patrons who are taking part in the live chat right now. If you want to leave your comments, your thoughts as we go through each match, or if you just want to compare your time zones to each other like they're doing right now, telling everybody that it's 20 after whatever, wherever they're listening, by all means, do that as well, because, that's sometimes what we got to do.
Exactly. But, all right.
I think before we go on any further, again, we have to send a big shout out to Mr. Mark Andrada running the ship here. Give some love to Mr. Andrada. And of course, Mark, your opinions are always the best ones, so we're going to save them for last. But in the meantime, shall we get rolling?
Let's get right to it. So the kickoff show didn't really have anything special. Your typical WWE kickoff show. It was panels, lots of talk and videos, which we will watch again if you watch the show. So no matches, nothing of note there. So let's jump right to the show. Show kicks off. You got the full pyro show. Broadcast team to start the night was Jimmy Smith, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton, because the match that's kicked it off was the women's ladder in the Money in the Bank ladder match. So it was Lacey Evans versus Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Asuka versus Shotzi versus Becky Lynch. All right, so this match, right away, right from the get-go, we got the typical WWE, you know, multi-person match formula where people, except this time it was funnier because they literally just cleared the ring. I know that they were running to get the ladders, but, you know, it essentially left Asuka and Becky Lynch alone in the ring, and that was your formula throughout the match. It was two people in the ring, kind of your showcase, and everyone else was kind of around the ring, either on the floor, selling something, taking a break, having a snack, whatever it is that they do when they're waiting. So that was essentially the match. So Asuka really worked.
I like the, hold on. I like the idea of them having a snack outside. Like, they just got to the ring, But it's like, man, I've been out here for 30 seconds. Boy, am I famished. What do we got under the ring? Sure, there's a multi-$1,000 catering set up in the back, but I'm going to see if I can grab a bag of Cheetos under the ring while I wait for my spot in the match to come.
Exactly. Gotta get that snack in, you know? All right, so yeah. Like I said, Asuka and Lynch started the match. Shotzi got in, and then Raquel Rodriguez got herself in the match. She picked up a ladder. She starts hitting people with the ladder. She ends up suplexing both Lynch and Bliss through a ladder, or bounced off the ladder, I should say. Alexa Bliss was the first to actually set up a ladder in the middle of the ring. She tried to go for the briefcase, but Rodriguez pulls her down. Asuka starts doing hip tosses on two Shotzi on a ladder. Evans cut her off to many, many boos. Lynch then tipped the ladder over. Asuka and Evans took this very kind of easy-looking bump. And that's the one thing that I noticed throughout this match. It was a well-placed match, like paced match, I should say. But, you know, at the start, they were really taking it easy. Nothing too crazy, which was kind of, you know, after some of the crazy stuff that we've seen, I can live with. Wait, I'm okay with
nothing too crazy? Let's just go back for a second here, because you just kind of glazed over the fact that Raquel Rodriguez, who... those who don't watch SmackDown regularly, is a beast. Like, she's 6 feet tall. She's got a hell of a frame on her. If you watched her on NXT, you know what we're talking about. But if you're a main roster fan only, you probably haven't seen that much of her if you only watch Raw or if you only check out highlights, because she hasn't been like a highlight reel wrestler yet on SmackDown. So to see her come out, to see her demonstrate her power, but then that double suplex on Lynch and Alexa was like, ah, why? Why? Because she suplexes both of them, like you said, onto the ladder. And to me, that was almost like a blind spot, you know, suplex, because they're going to land, but we don't know exactly how they're going to land until they land. And
yeah,
that to me was just a crazy risk off the hop. So,
well, there's another crazy risk coming up right here. And that's when Shotzi puts, what's her face? She puts a, Alexa Bliss on the Alexa chair position. She falls backwards. She seems to kind of lose her balance a little bit, falls backwards, and Bliss just lands straight on the ladder. Looked like her back of her head, upper back, just hit that ladder. That looked really, really rough.
Yeah, it was a physical match. You know, I thought, if anything, this was a bit of a coming out party for Shotzi and Raquel. Because, again, they don't get the big storyline focus. They've been on SmackDown as of late, but they're still just getting familiar to a lot of fans. So to actually have them have some spots where they could go, I think gave them some good exposure tonight. And it showed a lot of fans what they're capable of. So good for them.
Yep. There was a good skirmish outside of the ring. Rodriguez places a ladder over the broadcast table in the ring. Asuka went after Rodriguez, slams her head onto the table. Rodriguez climbs onto the table, wants to slam Asuka onto the ladder, but she escapes. Asuka ends up on Rodriguez's back. Lynch kicked Rodriguez, which put Asuka on the ladder, which was draped over the ring and the broadcast table. And then Lynch climbs the ladder and she does a leg drop, but it was more of an ass drop at that point, right on Asuka. And we got the "This is awesome" chant starting, which, again, that looked pretty brutal watching it, like right as it was happening.
Boris, you gotta breathe, man. You gotta give yourself a second to sell this move again, because it was supposed to be her classic leg drop off the top, right? And I think in any other ladder match, if this was two dudes, like big, heavy dudes, that would have been one of those ones that snaps one of those fiberglass ladders even. But because Becky and Asuka combined don't weigh as much as, say, a Drew McIntyre or a Sheamus or something, you don't get that breakthrough spot. And instead, like you said, she just bounced off her hard. And even the commentary did a great job of selling the fact that Asuka could very well have broken ribs after that, because I don't care how ready you are to take that hit from someone, you're still on a solid ladder. So I think it's one of those things where it can't be understated how big of a move that was for an outside the ring move.
Yeah, and it was that moment of the match where they're starting to eliminate people from the match just to set up the end of the match. So there were three ladders in the ring. Lynch kind of shoved two of them over. Morgan ran in. She stopped Lynch. Lynch then kicks Morgan's ladder toward the ropes, but Morgan pushes off the ropes with her leg or with her foot to balance herself back up straight on the ladder. Morgan drills Lynch with a knee to the face, which knocks her down and gives her the chance to go up the ladder to grab the briefcase and the win. So Liv Morgan is Ms. Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of solid moments in this match for Money in the Bank. I don't know why, but the women seem to have a better concept of these multi-person matches. Maybe because, most likely, it's because they're usually the ones put in them the most. You know, how often do we see women's matches where it's always multi-person, always multi-person? So they've always had exposure to that. They've had the experience of having the chance to figure out when to powder out, when to come back in. And I think this was overall, of the two ladder matches, I think it was probably the best executed. I thought, you know, there were some great moments in the men's match as well, which we'll get to, but I think the women just, they get this more. They see what the end game is. And, you know, it was hard not to see Liv being the winner, but there were a couple points there where you thought, okay, this is going to be Becky's moment. This is where we start the big storyline, but I don't have a problem with Liv having it. It just means we got to see her cry more now. And I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of Tom Hanksing, no crying and baseballing this, you know, but at the same time, I just, whatever, good for her.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We get a few videos. We get the Cody Rhodes update video. So we'll just jump into the second match of the night, which was Theory versus Bobby Lashley for the U.S. Championship. I really enjoyed this match. This match was well-paced. It was just the right length for me, right? It gave Theory a really good showcasing. He got up from some moves that you wouldn't necessarily think he would get up from. And, you know, at the end of the day, Bobby Lashley winning was the right move. You and I talked about it on the midweek markout a few times. So what did you think of this match?
I thought it was great. I thought that what they did, and this is where WWE has really been thinking really high and really well, is that they're building Theory without really taking away anything from his opponents. So Bobby Lashley, for example, is a perfect example where, you know, Bobby gets a title, which gets him elevated again, gets him into the conversation, because we all remembered Hell in a Cell when he grabbed the replica belt and was running around the ring saying he wanted a championship again. So that's good for him. And then we get the devastation of his finisher. And I was glad to see that Theory didn't get out of the Hurt Lock, which was my biggest fear, is that somehow he would get out of that, because we would have one of those matches later where, you know, every finish in the world would come in and nothing happened. But I think overall, solid match. I think Bobby's in a better place now. And I don't think they did anything to Theory to really knock him down a peg, which, as we would discover tonight, was all part of the plan.
Yep, exactly. I thought.
Oh, say this too. Like, after everybody saw Cena and Theory standing next to each other, and I talked about this on the midweek this week, was that we see that Theory's actually got a couple inches even on Cena. So commentary did a great job tonight of putting over the fact that Theory's not some schmug, just little twerp, so to speak. You know, he's got the size, he's got the stature, and now he's got, well, we'll find out as we go. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the main drivers there. So yeah, so I really enjoyed this match. So Theory goes for a somersault at one point. Lashley kind of presses him, slams him for a very near fall. And this was great, just because I thought this was going to be the end of the match. The fact that it kept going, you know, really gave Theory some credibility. Lashley hoists up Theory for a move, but Theory rakes his eyes. He then runs the rope, spears Lashley. Theory then goes for his ATL, but Lashley escapes it and puts him in the Hurt Lock for a pretty quick win in about 11 minutes. So your new U.S. champion, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Again, solid, solid. I think that that he's in a great place now because he lost clean. So that helps out Bobby. And it made the rest of what happened tonight make sense as well.
Yep. All right. Backstage, the Money in the Bank winner, Liv Morgan, was interviewed by Sarah Schreiber. She asked if she's decided who she's going to cash it in against and when. Morgan, again, got very emotional, started the crying. She spoke about how all she's wanted to do was be the champion. She said that for now, she thinks she's just going to celebrate her win.
Boy, is she a dirty liar.
Yep.
Wow, yep, she exactly. had me fooled.
Yep, exactly. I loved it because it was right before the next match, So at this point, you're wondering, okay, what's going to happen? I saw in the Facebook group, I think it was earlier this week or the week before, where I think almost every cash-in for the women has happened the same night as Money in the Bank.
Yeah, except and then there was the one year where both of them cashed in and they, they didn't have a Money in the Bank afterwards. So it's like, I think as much as they love the concept of the briefcase, I think that having two of them go any longer than they need to at the same time just becomes repetitive and tedious. So I'm all for somebody cashing in, but you're right. A lot of the women's cash-ins have happened pretty close to immediately. Yep. Go ahead and review this next match here because I will tell you what I loved about this match coming up, but go ahead.
All right. It was Bianca Belair versus Carmella for the Raw Women's Championship. This match, I really actually dug. I really enjoyed this. A lot of people don't really give Carmella the time of day, but I thought this match was really well done. Commentary was on point, and well, Bianca Belair, who one of the best out there, period.
Commentary was on point. I love that Graves gets to openly acknowledge that that's his wife in there. And then for some reason, Byron Saxton will always play along like she's just a competitor and like he's not married, like Corey's not married to her. And then he just literally chimes in and says, "That's my wife, man." Like, it's so nice and obvious, but at the same time, it's very entertaining. So go ahead if you want to do the play-by-play here.
Yeah, so Belair, after a little bit, she executes a delayed vertical suplex. Belair then hits Carmella with the 9 shots in the corner. She backflips off the middle rope and then gives her that final 10 punch. And Carmella was kind of down for a little bit. Carmella then avoids a charge, which causes Belair to hit the ring post. But Carmella then picks up a couple of 2 counts, blasted Belair with a super kick for another near fall. Carmella was kind of yelling at the referee, barks at the referee and Belair. Carmella slaps Belair, who fired back with a punch, hits the KOD for the win to retain the Raw Women's Championship.
Yeah, solid match. I thought that Carmella did, like you say, shine in this match. And that's the thing. Like, she's someone who knows what she's doing. She's been there for a while. I liked the promo that she talked about. And I don't know if it was even on TV or if it was on the internet or wherever it was. But she talked about how you can make me a valet. You can make me a this. You can put me in a guy with no chin, all this other stuff. I did think for a moment we were going to have an Ellsworth moment later on in the show. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Put me in a mask, all these other things, change my gimmick, change my character, but she always comes and delivers. And as much as I hate to say it, this is a case where I think a lot of fans have been selling her a little short, and it's easy to get caught up in the gimmick, but we got to remember these people have all worked. Well, most of them have worked pretty hard to be where they are today. So, and she's been around for a long, long time. She was Enzo and Cass's valet. And how long ago was that? So yep,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been around, so she's good.
Yep. Any other thoughts about this match before we move on?
No, I think Bianca, they're building her to be strong and stay strong. And I don't know what the SummerSlam plan is going to be yet, but it'll be a solid match, whatever it is. You gotta remember, she's still new. Like, she's been a champion, what, for in a year and a half span total, I think. Mm-hmm. Like throughout that, she's had on again, off again championship runs. But I don't know. It's just, we always think that, and maybe this is the instant gratification nature that we have these days. But I think that we have to let our champions, especially these new wrestlers, breathe a little more. And I think that she's getting the chance to do that now. So hot potatoing the championship isn't a good idea. And using it to build her properly is pretty good. So,
yep. Yeah. All right. We get an Alexa Bliss credit card commercial right in the middle of the show. Perfect timing.
Boy, did they boo the crap out of that. Right. I love that. And this is where, when anybody says that, oh, WWE pipes in all the audio, and I do see you on the message board saying that stuff. I will say that at Hell in a Cell, there was nothing piped in. I did go back and watch the show. There's been nothing piped in from where our reaction said, maybe except for the booing of Omos when he comes out. But boy, did they not try and cover up the fact that people hated this commercial for the WWE credit card. And I got to say, I was with them. I was with them.
Yeah. It was so random. If anything, anyways. Yeah.
It was so random. So if you missed it somehow, I don't know. This is where you realize that, you know, they have these corporate obligations they have to do, and they're going to try and be creative with them. So that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly it at that point. All right, so the next match was Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso versus the Street Profits for the undisputed WWE Tag Team titles. This was my match of the night. I absolutely love this match. They gave them a lot of time in this match. What did you think overall of this match, Mike?
Well, I'd wait till you give the review here because honestly, there was so much in it. But yeah, match of the night easily, in my opinion, as well. The crowd was so hot when it comes to this show. I thought they over-delivered, and it was probably a case where they go backstage afterwards. And as we heard back in the old days, it'd be like, follow that, you know, follow that. Go ahead. Show us what you got.
Yep. So early in the match, Ford had Jimmy down early. He goes for his finisher, but Jimmy rolls to ringside. Jimmy then performs a suicide dive onto Dawkins at ringside. Dawkins eventually blasted Jimmy with a punch. He tags in Ford. Ford went to the top rope, but Jay, who also tagged in, super kicked them on the way down. Really great spot. It was. I love those time spots of. We're seeing this more often though, but they're always really cool when they pull it off.
Did you hear the note at the start of the match though? Before we go move by move here, but did you hear Michael Cole trying to spread the story that who was it? Caleb Braxton broke the story earlier that Montez and Dawkins might not be getting along so well anymore. And yeah. I'll just go ahead and say it right now. And I don't know if WWE is paying attention to anything we say or do here, but I'll just say it now. Don't break up this friggin' team. It's too good.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to touch on that in a little bit, but yeah, no, that was, yeah. It was interesting because it highlighted that the entire start of the match, right? Like it was like, what did they say? And I'm like, I actually had to rewind for a couple seconds. And it's like, oh, they actually did say that. And it was just, it came like right from out of nowhere. But that's WWE for you. But I agree. Don't break them up. All right. The Usos dominate Ford. He eventually suplexed Jimmy on the apron. He made a slow crawl over and then made a diving tag to get Dawkins back in, who performs a flip dive onto both Usos at ringside. In the ring, Dawkins worked Jimmy, who performs a corkscrew neck breaker for a near fall. Later on in the match, Dawkins and Jay were trading punches in the ring. Jay dropped Dawkins with a leaping enziguri and then tags out. Later on, Ford leaps over both Usos, who hit him with a double super kick when he turned around. Jimmy covers Ford for a very, very close near fall. Tons of near falls in this match. Tons of times where, really, the match could have ended, I think, 101 times.
When you say the flip dive, are you referring to the moment that Montez Ford did that thing where he runs from one corner and then jumps over the other corner post onto people?
I was literally about to get to that. That was the
okay,
next
because I wanted to make sure that wasn't what you were talking about, because to just be like, oh, yeah, and then there's a flip dive, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, hold on to your friend, but go ahead. we'll get to this moment because this was insanity.
Yeah, so both Usos were outside. Ford goes back into the ring, and he, from one end of the ring to the other end of the ring, and does just a flip. Like, just it looks so casual, but just flies through the air, hits both of the Usos on the outside. But it looks so pretty, got tons of air time. It was so nice.
What amazed me the most about this is we've seen him do this on Raw, where they'll have, you know, a 10, 15 minute match or whatever, and he'll usually bust it out somewhere early, and then we go to break. This was well into a match where they were all very physically taxed at this point. And for him to still have that much steam and be able to do that easily, it's just absolutely incredible for anyone there to see what's going on and to see how much ability and how much agility this guy has. And even commentary was talking about how he has been putting on some mass, but at the same time, it just seems to have helped his agility. So Montez Ford is going to be something incredible here. And even though I do say don't break up the Street Profits, I've said this before, where this might be a team that might be okay. You know, I don't think we'll have a Tucky situation here, where if one goes on one way, I don't think the other one's going to be dismissed like 2 weeks later. So,
well, exactly. And the thing is, though, like I wouldn't mind seeing them move on, get a singles run each, but they don't necessarily have to break them up, right?
Yeah, just do what they did with New Day kind of thing, where it's like one goes one way, one goes the other. Off you go.
Men meet right in the middle of the ring. The fans are going crazy. Dawkins and Jimmy fight to the outside. Dawkins was dumped over the barricade in the ring. You know, Ford and Jay, it seemed like they miscommunicated a little bit here, but the Usos ended up performing their double super kick, put Ford down with a one and done, and that was the way the match ended. In 23 minutes, the Usos retain.
Chris Best in the chat says, I'm calling it now, Montez Ford gets the Kofi spot in next year's Rumble. Yeah, I could see that, or maybe he gets thrown over the top rope and just lands on someone in the crowd and then just jumps right back into the ring, because the guy can just jump so far. He doesn't even need to hop on a chair or anything. He literally just leaps in.
All right. So a big Montez Ford after this match. And I didn't actually catch this until they showed the replay. So in the replay, they showed that Ford's shoulder was actually the mat. Later on, Ford is yelling at the commentator, and they even kind of zoom into it and show and highlight the fact that at the pin, his shoulder wasn't officially on the mat.
Yeah, some good old-fashioned controversy. Like it. Like it. Keeps the feud going. Gives them a reason to have another match. And keeps the hope up that somebody will take down the bloodline and redisperse the gold.
Yep, we'll see what happens. All right, after this, we see a video with tons of religious imagery. We see gold medals. We see some chairs. We see gloves. We see a shot of someone's hand, and it cuts right back to the show. I was very confused when this popped up, because I thought it was going to be a commercial for like their evil show on Peacock or something like that. But what did you think of this little random ad or promo for someone?
What the hell are they gonna do to, oh, I just had his name in my head, the Olympic gold medalist, the one they just hired, the hell's his
Gable
name?
Gable Steveson.
They're going to have him come out in the Mordecai outfit. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but the only reason why they'd have those medals there would be for that. Why on earth else would they do it? But, oh, so, no. I just thought of it. Gabriel Steveson, the archangel. Gabriel Steveson.
Oh, Lord. I hope that's not it.
Oh, no. You know, at first I thought for half a second, you know, holy crap, we're finally getting Bray Wyatt back, and nope. So I don't know what that's gonna be, but yeah, it's gotta be it with the medals, it has to be something tying Steveson. That's
well,
it.
I saw in one of the chats that I'm in, I think it was Brad, the dad, or it was Greg, it was one of those two, where they said that it might be Edge, and kind of teasing his return, because there was a lot of imagery of kind of his past and his big feuds. So like Kurt Angle, we saw gloves like the Hardys, we saw some Dudley Boy stuff. There was a bunch of stuff kind of commemorating his past.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So is he going to do the supernatural thing after all then?
That's the thing, right? Like... Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's no.
The thing. We'll see.
I guess it could be Edge, but I mean, what the hell are what the hell are Judgment Day doing right now anyways? Nothing.
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 Main event on that's main it. Event.
Well, no, they were recruit. Remember this from Raw this past week. This was my favorite thread I've ever heard in my life, is when Rey Mysterio is and Dominic are encountered by the Judgment Day. And they say that, you know, maybe Dom doesn't have a bad match. Maybe Dom just has a bad father. And Ray's response is, I'll show you who's a bad father next week. And I'm just thinking that this should be a new WWE stipulation where it's the bad dad match, where they each have to bring out a kid. And they have to, you know, like the first one, the kid brings up his homework and it's a B+. And then, you know, Finn Balor looks down at him and says, should have been an A, right? And then another kid walks up to Rey Mysterio with a ball glove and a ball. And Rey has to look down and say, not now, son, I'm busy. And that'll just be the thing over and over again. So who is the worst dad in WWE?
Oh Lord, don't give him ideas, please. All right, let's get back to it. We got two more matches before we turn things over to the patrons. So the next match was for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Ronda Rousey, your champion, versus Natalya. Basic story here is that Ronda Rousey isn't actually 100% after a sharpshooter that Natalya gave her a few weeks ago. That's the ongoing story. And essentially, Natalya throughout the match is trying to get a sharpshooter back on Ronda Rousey to make her tap. So she's working over the legs throughout the entire match, trying to, you know, soften her up for the sharpshooter.
Yeah. I don't know how much you're going to recap in this, but this one had its moments of greatness, considering the two who were in there. But there were a couple moments that were clunky AF too. And yeah, it was something where, okay, there's a good story as far as the physicality, like the pre-existing injury thing is always a good sell, because it makes your baby face shine that much more if they get over. But yeah, this match, I don't know, it just didn't seem to captivate people the way I thought they hoped it, or the way they probably hoped it would have.
I'd say the crowd really was dead for the, you know, three quarters of the match. I think that last little bit, they kind of did wake up a little bit. But like you said, the match was a little clunky. It wasn't the most fluid match that these two could put on. I've seen these two put on better matches. So it's kind of sucks, but, you know, that's what can you do, really? So at one point, Rousey sets up for the Piper's Pit. Natalya sends her crashing to the floor. That looked a little tough. The broadcast team, the commentators, were actually talking about how Rousey may have injured her knee, which softens her up for a sharpshooter. Rousey ends up applying a hold on the apron. Rousey powers out of it, sends Natalya crashing into the ring post.
Well, Natty Rousey had her in the sharpshooter on the apron, so they tried a sharpshooter in the ring first. Where Ronda had it on her, and then they moved to the outside and did the sharpshooter on the apron. So I don't know, man. I was behind it. I liked when Ronda actually did like the Shawn Michaels pose while she was doing the sharpshooter, which I thought was a direct slap in the face to anybody who's a Hearts fan. Once again, happy birthday, Brett. But I want so much for these two to have the match of the night where everybody just leaves and goes, yes, that was something. But there just wasn't anything. There was no meat to this match. Like, they tried the personal attacks. They've been sniping each other on social media. but I just don't think the fans were getting behind it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, this everyone was kind of flat in this, like in the lead up, in the actual match. The crowd proved it. Like, it just, you know, they didn't really care. So Rousey at this point is really selling the fact. Hurting. She goes for an armbar, but Natalya counters it into a sharpshooter attempt. She doesn't get it fully in because Ronda counters it into an ankle lock. Natalya turns this over, steps over. She goes for a sharpshooter again, but Rousey catches her in another submission, which gave her the win in about 12 minutes, 30 seconds. So Ronda Rousey wins and retains the SmackDown Women's Championship.
And so we thought, okay, we are going to main event town right away. Holy cow, we're almost done this show, but just a minute. Not yet.
Not
Ronda
yet,
celebrating
exactly.
Her win. This was my favorite moment of the show. My favorite, yes. Absolute moment of the show. And kids, earmuffs. But all of a sudden, as Ronda's getting up with her sore knee after retaining her title, Liv Morgan's music hits. And you very clearly, on Ronda Rousey's face, see her look to the screen and go, shit. Because it was the time for Liv to cash in. And I thought, to me, that was a great little devil in the detail. And when Ronda's on, she's on. And I almost felt like that was probably her best performance of this run. I saw Matthew Smith say that she's been a flop this whole return. I don't know if she's been a flop. I just think there's been some bad pairings. I think there's been nobody to really get behind on either side of Ronda. And that's no disrespect to Natty or Charlotte or anyone, but these are all things we've kind of seen. The Charlotte-Ronda match had no excitement, but then they went in there and beat the piss out of each other. Whereas this one, everything kind of went the way it was supposed to. And Ronda winning the championship, retaining, and then hearing Liv's Morgan and Liv's music and just saying, oh shit. You know, this is great. Cause now she's like, you could see it on her face. She's like, I'm screwed. I got a bad knee in this. Now she's coming out to get me. And then sure enough, Liv Morgan comes and Liv Morgan is cashing in her Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yep. And Morgan goes right after Rousey's injured knee or leg. She puts her, in an ankle lock. So she goes for the kick, but Rousey counters this.
Okay, start over. So it was Liv that started the kick. She went right for the kick. Ronda caught her and then goes with the ankle lock. But then something kind of screwy happened.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, I love the fact that the crowd just audibly, like, they went nuts and they were booing at this point. And even I'm like, oh no, is Liv gonna lose this? Is Liv gonna actually lose this? But Morgan eventually kicks the bunny of Rousey, rolls her up, and pins her in 35 seconds to win the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I wish they had sold the fact that she had kicked the bad knee more, because to me, it just looked like she kind of nudged her and then all of a sudden rolled her up. And it looked like a weak pin until you saw the replay. But yeah, again, Tom there, just a shout out to the HBK post. See, called that one, man. That was great. There were great little moments. That's just what I mean. You know, everybody likes to dump on Ronda Rousey. Ronda can be amazing when given the opportunity. But I just think she's been paired badly in this. And I think that she came in thinking she was going to be a heel and wasn't ready to be a babyface right away. But I think overall, the greatest moment was the oh shit. And then we were waiting for the double cross when she handed Liv the title.
Exactly, because she just gets up. She has the title. Ronda Rousey gets up, has a title in her hand. She's looking at the title. She's looking at Liv Morgan, but then she ends up hugging her and hands the title over, and I guess kind of puts to bed the fact that she might be turning right now, at least.
Well, and it was nice to even see her say, you deserve it, you know, and then, again, I just kind of hoped this would stop crying Liv, but instead it looks like it's going to bring on even more crying Liv, because now she's crying tears of joy, which good for her. I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo someone, because I truly believe that if you're in WWE or in AEW or anywhere, you have a desire to be recognized as the best, you know, phony baloney championship or not. But I think that this is something that she's really worked for. And it was funny after they did the whole video package. Michael Cole talked about meeting her for the first time and how she, and he used her real name when she introduced herself and all that. So there was a great build, a great story. You know, you didn't see them, but her mom and sister were there. All these other people were there to cheer her on. So I think overall it was a, it's a good feel good moment. If anything, probably good morale for the roster backstage too, because clearly Liv is someone that's loved. Everybody likes her. And however long it lasts, it's going to be a feather in her cap. So good for her.
Yep, exactly. All right, one more match to get through, then we'll turn things over. And this is now for the men's Money in the Bank. We have Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Omos versus Sami Zayn versus Riddle versus Madcap Moss. And just as the match is about to start, Adam Pearce comes out and he says how special the night is and has been. And then he says, what better way to cap the night off than by adding to it? And then he introduces Theory as the eighth entrant into the Money in the Bank match.
Okay, show of hands in the chat, who for a second, for just a second, thought maybe they were going to say Cody? Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Because it was like just insane. Like, and the fact that Pierce is smiling. Yeah, see, Tommy says even a brief second. Greg says no, but Greg always knows everything, so that's fine. But I just, for the way he was building it up, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna have a big high note here. I thought, Mayton, well, no, he wouldn't walk out now. So, yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So Theory is the eighth man. Let's get to the match. So Omos started dominating the match, and essentially the match was Omos, even though he didn't win, he still looked super strong throughout this match. They gave him a lot of time, a lot of cool spots, and it was the, you know, 7-on-1 type of gimmick that we've seen every big man in these types of matches go through. What'd you think of that, Mike?
He was the super shredder. Yeah. He was the super shredder. They literally covered him in garbage at one point, and, you know, in scraps and ladders and everything. And yeah, as far as Omos being a, being a threat in this match, I thought they carried it off well, because anytime he wasn't in the ring, there was a reason. It wasn't just the usual powdering out. They showed everybody has to work together to kick this guy's ass, or we're not going to have a chance. Right. So we saw that a few times in the match, and, you know, like love or hate Omos, they're doing the best they can with this guy. And I think that everything with him, again, maybe unpopular opinion, but I thought everything they did with him made sense tonight.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed 100%. See, and then, honestly, a person that every time they showed on camera throughout at least the first half of the match, I was just laughing. And that's Sami Zayn.
Just, oh, man. Just a gift to wrestling is Sami Zayn. When Omos is going on his terror of destruction, and you see Sami literally just hiding behind a ring post, like, like, you know, the last victim in a horror movie trying not to get noticed by Jason Voorhees, you know, just standing there like, the whole time. Oh, it was perfect.
Yep. I think Madcap Moss also had a pretty good showing, right? I like how the commentator was kind of playing up the fact that he's the ultimate underdog. He just got his spot in the match, you know, the previous night on SmackDown, and he's here in the biggest match of his life. I really liked how they're really pushing this guy.
Yeah, a guy who really has a base level draw right now. They're keeping him a good guy, which is good. I'm still not crazy about the name, but whatever. I don't know. He looks strong, and I guess we'll see what kind of character they develop for him down the line here, because right now he's just plain black trunks, and ain't nobody ever made money with just plain black trunks, son. But in all seriousness, I think that there is something bigger on the cusp for him, and he's still so new that we got lots of time for that to happen.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Zayn in the sets up a ladder in the middle of the ring. He goes for the briefcase, but Moss runs down, shoves him down. Rollins tipped the ladder over, and Moss's legs landed very awkwardly onto the ropes. Rollins does the stomp on Moss. Riddle comes back with a even bigger ladder, sets it up right beside the other ladder that Rollins was on. Rollins punched Riddle off the ladder. He then gets his hands on the briefcase, but Riddle returned and did an RKO right off the ladder. And that looked really good. Like, I like that visual and the way that the camera caught it of Riddle just jumping off the ladder. That was really well done.
I honestly got to think that they're either trying to make Riddle the next superstar or they're trying to kill him. One of the two, because they're like, hey, you're going to do all these crazy Randy Orton spots, but where he did them over like, what, 20 years, you're going to do them in 3 months. So he's hitting all these amazing RKOs and all these high spots and everything. But the floating bro off the top of the ladder comes up. And again, one of those things where everybody caught him perfectly. Like, it all went according to plan, but still, it's one of those things where I didn't see anybody holding the ladder. Usually they'll have refs there or somebody holding the ladder. Now, it may have been whoever was on the ground first that was doing it, but man, I was just watching. I was like, that ladder could kick out from under him any second and it could be like a serious botch. But no, he made it. He looked good. And yeah, Riddle's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy of something down the road.
He was showcased in this match for sure, whether it was hometown, you know, preference or something. But he got a lot of time and a lot of moves in and took up a lot of the match. So Riddle got back to his feet. He slowly climbs the bigger of the two ladders, but Theory returned. He climbs on the other side. Riddle and Theory are trading punches at the top of the ladder. Theory shoves Riddle down, and then he unhooks the briefcase to win and become Mr. Money in the Bank.
There was a extended amount of time where Sheamus and Drew were also featured very heavily in this match, and there was one time where they were doing the chest beats on Theory, where poor Theory's chest was just turning into a stop sign. And I thought when they got to the top, I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be Drew. Maybe it's going to be Drew. There were a lot of great moments in this. Did you even mention the Omos table spot?
No, I was going to talk about it like when it was okay, break okay. down like pieces.
Because, yeah, there's a lot more to this match than what's been given here. Like I said, there was one moment where they throw Omos out of the ring and they throw like 10 or 12 ladders on him to keep him at bay, which is great. He eventually breaks through that. So everybody except Theory at one point outside the ring, they managed to knock him down. And then they all look at each other like, we got to put him through the table. And sure enough, six guys launch Omos like a lawn dart. And I mean, I was so worried for Omos because they really threw him. He almost cleared the table, but he landed on it. And then I was like, man, if his head hits one of the wheels on those announcer chairs, like, it would just be gross. Cause I just, any little thing can cause major injury. But it was a great way to, again, slay the giant, so to speak. But a lot of this stuff in this match made sense. I think there was just a bit of it that was too congested and not to the point of like a Young Bucks match too congested. And that's not a knock on them, but we all know this is what the Bucks do. But it was just, there was a lot happening, and there was a lot of this guy could be the winner. So overall it was good, but I still think the women's match was the better of the two ladder matches.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But like you said, I like that anytime they took out Omos, there was a purpose to it, mm-hmm. right? And yep. It was usually 7-on-1. Like right before that table spot, everyone essentially did a version of one of their finishers to set him up. And that was really well done. Like I said, or like you were mentioning, Riddle was just flying everywhere. He was probably featured the most, especially at the end of the match. And Zayn had a moment where I thought he was going to win, even though he was kind of being sly throughout the entire match. But like you said, there was a lot of moments where this person was very close to winning, and then they just kind of shove him off the ladder, feature two more people, rinse and repeat. And that was in pretty much the entire match. It was climb the ladder, almost there, and then two new people come in. And this match was about, what, 25 minutes, 25 seconds.
I will go on record now saying that if Sami Zayn had won that briefcase, I would have continued this road trip and gone to every WWE show there was. House shows, live shows, TV, pay-per-view, or premium live event, because I would need to see what happened there. But also, I am a freak. So I love Sami Zayn. I love the whole idea of him even having a possibility of winning, even though you knew he wasn't going to. It was so much fun just watching him. So, that the show then? Are we going to turn it over to the peeps, Mark Andrada, before we go to them? After hearing our review of this show, do you agree or disagree? Was it a good time?
Mike isn't working.
I can literally hear you flipping the switch, dude.
Exactly. Oh, I love it.
Well, big shout out to Mark. Mark is working hard. Mark is working very hard. So Mark didn't actually get to catch the show, but he's still here for us. So there you go.
I also have a poll. Look at that.
Whoa! My Launch God, look at the size of that poll.
Yeah.
So match of the night, or Motton, if you would. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just running down the match of the night. So everybody who's here in our Zoom has a say. If you are not in the Zoom, if you're watching this on YouTube, let me tell you something. You are missing out. I have put the Patreon link in the YouTube chat. Join the Patreon. Join the patrons. We're all in a Zoom together hanging out. They can see things that you can't. So come on over.
Yeah, for example, Mark's not wearing a shirt again. But only patrons get to find that out.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
And patrons, if you want to have your say, raise your hand. Click the virtual raise hand button at the bottom of your screen, and we'll bring you on up. Up first, we have Tom. Tom's coming up first, so I'm promoting him right now. And while I promote Tom, let's check out the results of this poll.
All right.
Boom. There it is. Usos versus Street Profits, match of the night.
Yep. Easily agree. And second place looks like it was the women's Money in the Bank. Yep, that's fair. And wow, nobody loving the men's Money in the Bank. That's okay. That's all right. Not everybody can be a winner.
We got a couple people voting for Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan. I guess people are pleased with that change, I guess.
There you go. There you
just go. Just in time. Here's our friend Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi. So in third place is Mark Andrada, shirtless.
You want me to be shirtless? I can be shirtless.
No, I know that. I think Mike would not want that.
No, I don't care.
So what the deal with WWE is, they know how to put a pay-per-view together. They don't know how to promote it. They have 5 hours a week. They don't know how to promote their own pay-per-views. Now, with Liv Morgan, it's a great story. If they were going to give the title up tonight, it should have gone to Natalia. She deserves it.
How do they not know how to promote pay-per-views, man? The last week has been nothing but matches with ladders around the ring. And every other week has been qualifying matches.
But it's still, I don't know, like,
what are they supposed to do? You want the mail-in in your cable bill. That's what you want. You're missing out on the old days where they used to send out the things in the mail. You want one of those. You want the viewer's choice pay-per-view channel that just loops the same half-hour show over and over and over again.
I would love that, personally.
Yeah,
that'd
be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and they would do it, too, if they could figure out what the friggin' matches were, like, you know, a week before the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
I'm just busting your chains, Tom. But overall, what do you think of the show, man?
Anytime women get to actually wrestle and it's not a bra and panties match, I enjoy it.
Well, there hasn't been a bra and panties match in like 15 years.
I know that. But watching women actually being allowed to wrestle is enjoyable because it's harder for them to get their foot in the door, basically. Right? Because it's more image than talent most of the time. But I think tonight's matches were good. I think the pacing was very good. I would have liked Natalia to win, but I guess she's just the doormat of the WWE. And
whoa, why would you say that?
I don't know. They don't give her the credit she deserves.
She was just in the championship match. They gave her a big rivalry. She got to come out dressed like Ronda Rousey, Tom. Admit it. If you were given the chance to dress like Ronda Rousey, you would. We all would. It's okay. All right. We're all friends here. We're all patrons. It's all good. Boris is wearing a kilt right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to get up because there's nothing underneath it. Hey-o.
Figuratively or literally?
Oh, wow.
How that's for you to find out later.
Wow.
We have an HR department. Mark, do we have an HR department for Sunday Night's Main Event?
It's me.
Actually, I believe Tom is the HR department. Tom.
Yeah. Great. Where do I sign my NDA?
I think it's under Boris's kilt, actually.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. I think it was a good, I think it was very good. At least there were no forks or pitchforks being shoved in people's foreheads tonight. That was very nice to see. Because I saw
You're referring to Blood and Guts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the forks and the pitchforks, it would have been a lot nicer. But when you see something like that happen, it's like, why are we doing this?
Well, you know, that's AEW though. They gotta just keep going, right? Pretty soon they're gonna, you know, if Jericho has his way, they'll have a dodge the bullet match. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, dude, any other thoughts on Money in the Bank tonight?
I'd like to thank Mark and Boris for letting me in tonight. That was very nice. And I will speak to you guys next time.
Talk to you next time, brother. Man. Nice to see you, Tom.
Always good to see Tom. Especially Tom with a shirt.
No, I'm disappointed. I want Tom to never wear a shirt. I want that to be the running gag. I will always not wear a shirt.
You can't say that to our patrons, though, man. That's like...
I hope that none of our patrons wear a shirt.
That's going to be the clip that now gets isolated, and you're going to be that guy.
Yeah, put it. My face is on. I lit up my camera. My face is on. I hope none of our patrons wear a shirt. I'll say it. We've got Greg. Greg, turn your camera on, my friend.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Green screen Jones. Look at this guy.
Oh, I tell you, whenever I do this, I've got this up, man.
I'm in a friggin' camper, and you've got like your own Chiron ready to go here. And wow, good for you.
Yeah. Watched the show tonight with my 12-year-old, and I gotta say, I lost a lot of steam after the tag match, match. I found it so hard to get through the Rousey match and get through that men's Money in the Bank. It was just difficult, right? And I mean, that cash in at the end of the women's match. I mean, my kid looked at me, he's like, why would she do this now? I'm like, because apparently WWE believes that you can't have two Money in the Bank briefcases floating around out there, right? Heaven forbid that the women have one and actually keep it and let it go for 6 months or a year. But yeah, Andrade wondering why I'm wearing a shirt. Oh,
no, it's all good. So let me ask you this then, from the SmackDown side of things, because you and Brad the Dad review SmackDown every week.
Right.
We had a lot more SmackDown presence on this event tonight. Do you feel that the storylines building up to any of the matches were carried through on that show as well as they were on Raw? Because the Usos and Street Profits, we saw a lot of on Raw, but I don't recall whether or not there's a ton of it on SmackDown.
Yeah, we cut our Ask Me Anything segment this week of Usos and Street Profits, and really it was completely skippable. I mean, WWE did not do a great job building up this pay-per-view on the SmackDown side, if I'm being frank. I mean, that SmackDown episode, myself and Brad recorded our podcast last night, and I think it was 27 minutes or something, beginning to end. Like, you could breeze through SmackDown last night. It was not, you weren't missing anything. So, yeah.
Well, at least they had matches on the show this time.
They did. And what I'm curious to see is where Liv Morgan now fits into this. If she's, as she is the SmackDown champion, are we going to see her now come to SmackDown? And how is that going to change things up a little bit?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm wondering more if this is Ronda taking time off, like if they're going to use the knee injury as a reason to keep her off TV for a while, maybe repackage, maybe have her come back aggressive, you know, give her the heel run she wanted or what. But I don't think having Liv as a SmackDown Women's Champion, especially for the summer where, I mean, all bets are off. I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. So
my big fear here, though, is Charlotte returning from her honeymoon and how that plays into things.
I don't know if Charlotte's even going to come. Well, I guess she might be back by SummerSlam.
She's advertised for the Monday after SummerSlam or the Friday after SummerSlam. So I don't know if we're going to get her before SummerSlam. But I think SmackDown is in Charlotte and they're advertising already. So, yeah.
Well, right, as always, card subject to change. But yeah, go ahead, Boris.
I was just going to ask, like, let's assume that Charlotte comes back after SummerSlam. Who do you put Liv against for SummerSlam?
Oh, that's a great question. Honestly, I actually would like to see Natalia if I'm you know, pulling a name out of a hat. Natalia actually, in my mind, did relatively well tonight in that spotlight. And I mean, can she cut a promo? No. But can she make Liv Morgan look like $1 million? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely having someone with experience in there with her wouldn't be a bad idea because, you know, Liv is great and she's gotten so much better over the last couple of years. And again, I'm not to say whether anyone's a better wrestler or not, but I can just say that from my personal enjoyment of watching her work is that it's not as trepidatious as a lot of newer stars. And this is newer wrestlers on both sides, but especially it seems the women sometimes are a little trepidatious to get in there and really lay their shit in. And so she's getting in there now. I mean, I was... During the ladder match, the Money in the Bank match, when she went to do that sunset flip power bomb off the top of the ladder, I was like, "Dear God, don't die!" Because it just looked like she was going to miss the slip completely. But
it would not surprise me to hear after the show tonight that, you know, five or six of these guys and gals have concussions out of the show. Like, I'm terrified to hear what we're going to get, you know, tomorrow from Uncle Dave when you speak to him on, you know, how these wrestlers did after the show. Cause there was a lot of bumps here tonight that were not. Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because that's going to be kind of what I'm opening up for tomorrow's round table, gentlemen, which you were going to be getting the email after the show. But with especially the litany of injuries in AEW, now Adam Cole might be out for an extended amount of time. Like, when did wrestling start really hurting people again? Like, this is becoming an epidemic, and it's on a high level. Like, these are on the national stage. So I'm hoping that most people left okay with this. That double suplex on the ladder spot again with the women scared the crap out of me. There was a few other spots that just I don't think needed to happen, but they did them.
Sammy took a shot to the back of the head at one point that I was like, oh, sweet Lord, right? Like, and Alexa took one to the back of her head, and I'm like, these are some of these people have, you know, have a serious history of concussion issues, right?
I like Alexa.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's scary watching these matches. I understand we're in a Money in the Bank, but we don't need, you know, we don't need the plunder, you know? Use the ladder to you know, climb, but not use the ladder as a weapon all the time, right? I mean, maybe one or two spots in the match, but I don't think it needs to be a spot of ladder, 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 because it's all you get.
But on that note, they are having to keep the AEW fans in mind of what they do now, because especially on AEW, or if you're an internet fan, you're watching GCW or you're watching all these other shows where people are just literally ripping each other apart in some cases. Like, I'm not saying they have to compete with GCW, but there are going to be portions of the audience that just say, well, WWE is just too soft. I would rather have wrestlers who do what wrestling is supposed to be, which is simulated combat rather than legitimately hurting each other all the time, because this is still wrestling. And the second it becomes an injury cavalcade, it's not wrestling anymore.
Oh, it's... Tom just posted in the chat. He figured out what's happening. Danhausen has cursed everyone. That's why there's so many injuries.
There you go. That's the answer then. Very nice, very evil.
So anyhow, that's my thoughts on tonight, gentlemen. I'll step back and let someone else stand up, but have a great evening, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
There you go, Father Feltham from your Smack Daddies. You can catch them after SmackDown every week on the SNME Podcast Network, which if you're a patron, you already know that. But if you're watching any of the free feeds or listening to the free bonus right now, that's just one of the many shows we give you. So thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate that. Mark, who do we got next?
Oh, my goodness. We're going from Greg to Greg over here.
Going
from
do that?
Greg to Greg. We can go from Greg to Greg. That's like, okay. Isn't that Rob Van Dam's old move? Going Greg to Greg?
Greg to Greg, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. Gregory, turn on. Yeah, you know what's up. Here he comes. Boom. Hey, friend.
What's up, Greg? How are you, man?
We do need you to unmute, my friend.
There you go. There
you are. Mike, you're from Saskatchewan, right?
No, I live in Saskatchewan. Right now, I'm actually in Stamps Country.
We'll see you in the Banjo Bowl and the Labor Day Classic.
I won't be at either.
I know. We'll see your team there.
They're not my team, dude. I told you. I am a universal man. I have no team. I have no franchise. I am a man of the people.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry to kill. I mean, yeah, you're right. Boo, Bombers. There, is that better? Is that what you're looking for? I'll give you that. There you go.
Reigning, defending, two-time Grey Cup champions.
I was just in Winnipeg. I liked it a lot. I got ripped off at a toy store, but other than that, it was pretty good. So,
be prepared to be stunned. I agree with what every single word that Tom just said tonight.
What did Tom just say tonight?
I'm getting sick and bloody tired of Natty being the gatekeeper, the person that is always being stomped on. A career of Natty's capability should be at least 4 or 5-time women's champion. I would love to see her basically had the belt on her tonight, beating Ronda, and then develop something with Ronda and Liv.
Let me ask you this. Who's your favorite men's wrestler of all time?
Men's?
Yeah.
All depends on what era.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you right
now. You're not going to pin me down on that. It all depends on what.
I am going to pin you down on this, because if you're going to lay a standard for one champion, I'm going to lay a standard for another. So even in the past 30 years, we'll say, in the prime time of WWE's existence, post-80s, okay, or you can even go to the 80s, who is, in your mind, the greatest men's superstar in WWE? In your lifetime?
I'm an 82 baby, so my 80s wrestling is virtually limited, basically.
Yeah, that's fine.
I would have been maximum 8 years old, seriously.
Okay, so let me ask you, but who in your mind during your lifetime is the greatest WWE superstar?
In my lifetime?
Yeah. In your lifetime as a fan, whatever you want to call it. John Cena?
Nice.
John Cena. All right. So, 16-time champion. A lot of those championship reigns were not
very long. And a little bit of this, too.
A little bit of what? I can't see.
He's raising an eyebrow.
Doing The Rock.
He's raising
the
Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
See, now how many world championships does The Rock have? Because I know he didn't have as many as people think, right? Like, you know, to me, the fact that she's still there.
Off the top of my head, 5, Boris could look it up.
Boris could look it up. Look it up, Boris.
Look at Greg taking the show here. All right, I love producer, it. Producer Boris.
Or Mark, look it up.
I'm so
no, Mark's on camera now.
My guess is 5. That's my guess.
You know what? I'll look it up.
All right, Mark's going to look it up and find out how many women's and divas championships that Natty has had in total too, Mark, because I want to get these numbers all together here. Because my argument is that many would say, okay, John Cena could be the greatest star of all time. Before him, though, who was the guy for WWE? I'm not talking all of wrestling, but when he ever said who was the greatest WWE superstar of all time, a lot of people would say The Undertaker. And The Undertaker, for the longest time, didn't have any world championships. He had one early one, and then he had the second one many, many years later. And then when they started tossing the titles around, a few more came. But he was still The Undertaker. Now, I love Natty, but she's not Undertaker level. She's never going to be Undertaker level. All right, Mark, you have the numbers for us?
Could you imagine? I do. The Rock has won the Intercontinental Championship 2 times. He's a 5-time tag team championship winner. He's the 2000 Royal Rumble winner, and he is a 10-time world champion. The Rock.
And that's including is that including WCW and WWE?
I believe so.
Okay. So there you go. All right. And then who's the other one? Natty.
Okay.
give me Natty's title count here, Mark.
Okay, you're gonna have to give me a sec. I'm gonna look that up.
Dude, I even said look up the Natty thing. That's all right.
I only have one phone, you know what I mean?
But you know, I don't know. I think the fact that I don't think Natty's really a gatekeeper. I think if anything, she's the elevator. She's the one that gets people to the next level. Which I don't think is a bad thing, man. Like we're looking at
it is a bad thing.
It's a bad thing to be the most trusted person on the roster to get new talent over. That's a bad thing.
If you want to be memorized in history, it is a bad thing. I'm thinking if we're doing it like how the Hockey Hall of Fame does their Hall of Fame voting. I know that the Hockey Hall of Fame and the WWE/WWF does their Hall of Fame voting differently. But if they did the Hockey Hall of Fame, if they did their Hall of Fame voting, such as the Hall of Fame that they do in hockey and in basketball and in baseball, I don't know if she'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Greg, I love you, buddy, but I'm gonna just hit you with this right now. Major League Baseball, NHL, NFL, all these other Hall of Fames. Yes, they have a big panel, everything else. Here's WWE's Hall of Fame panel. Boop, 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 boop. Hi, classic superstar. Would you want to be in the Hall of Fame? Yes? Okay, you're in. Click. That's it. There is no voting. There's no panel. It's whoever Vince and maybe a couple other producers think should be in there. And frankly, who wants it? Because there's been people that have turned it down.
Boris is itching to get in here. Get in here.
No, I'm agreeing with Mike. That's the thing. Like you're bringing up, you know, real sports with panels and journalists who go into voting and all this and that. Whereas the WWE Hall of Fame, it's well noted how it works, right? So, and this crazy thing that, you know, it is work at the end of the day, right? So it's like, I think that Natty is in a great position. The fact that WWE trusts her enough to put her in a match with Ronda Rousey, I think that's a great position for her to be in, especially at this stage in her career.
You know, for every great fight.
Mike, I'm going to put you on hold. Mark, you have those numbers?
Mike, you're on hold, Mike. Cool. Yes, I do have the numbers.
I'm telling you, I'm not messing around tonight.
You're not.
I'm in Top Gun mode.
You're in Top Gun
mode. Well, the Church of Scientology appreciates your donation. Move on.
Natalia Neidhart is a 3-time WWE Divas Championship winner, and Natalia is a 1-time WWE Women's Championship winner.
There's 4 times, Greg. Four times. You said she should be at least four times. She is.
And her last title reign was when she had the women's title. Correct. That's eons ago. That's when I was basically a teenager. Buddy.
That's not correct. No, the she last women's SmackDown champion. Champ. SmackDown women's champion. Blue belt.
Then, Mark, what site are you looking at?
I'm looking at I'm looking at a wrestling wiki. Looking at
well, if someone's saying she had a blue belt, I'm thinking that that should be on the site. So that means technically she had five. That means I will say her and her last title reign with the SmackDown title belt. What it was basically, I will say not when I was a teenager, probably 4 or 5 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
That's a wrestling eternity. That's wrestling lifetime.
It's a wrestling eternity.
It is. You know how they've been saying that Seth Rollins had the best cash in of all time? I was at the Raw after WrestleMania 29 when Ziggler came down and had the best cash in of all time. So nothing against Mr. Rollins, but there's revisionist history on everything. And for many people that'll say Dolph Ziggler's jobbing out, he knows he's there to work now. He doesn't care. He's getting paid. He's happy. But there was a guy who had the greatest cash in of all time. And that was 2013. That was 9 years ago. But it doesn't matter, dude. She's there. Be happy that your favorite wrestlers are there.
I will say, I'll argue this point on Gregory's side of this. I will
thank
say
you,
that,
Mark.
I will say that I
thank
am
you, Mark.
Willing to.
Thank
you're
you, Mark,
welcome.
For being a good wingman and a good tag team partner.
Okay, let him talk anytime. Then.
Anytime. I will say that I think that I agree that Natalia is undervalued, and I think that regardless of how much she's getting paid, I think Natalia needs to be paid more. She deserves more money than what she's making right now.
Oh,
and
I'll
I want to say I don't
100%.
Know how much she's making, but I think she deserves more.
I think that if anything, she should have the Hall and Nash grandfather clause, right? Or the favored nations clause, where if anybody comes in and gets paid more than her, then she gets paid a dollar more, you know, on top of whatever they're making, you know? So, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not Greg, not for a second. Like I first met Natty when she was working indies with her dad on the card to get her over, and she's great. She's always been great. She comes from an era where, if you heard my interview with Kat Von Hees, and there's going to be another segment coming up with her soon, where Natty and a woman named Belle Lovitz were the only two women in Canada that could have matches against each other. So, I mean, she's definitely earned her keep, and she definitely is arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to do it. But James wants to know, what does the last 5 minutes have to do with the review of the pay-per-view? Move along. That's fair. Some people just like to argue, to be honest with you, James. But she's great. She's great. Nobody's saying she isn't great. I'm sorry that she didn't win the championship tonight, but that doesn't mean that she sucks. And that doesn't mean that they think she sucks.
Nobody thinks she sucks.
Nobody.
She sucks. No one. There we go.
You know what? How about this? We'll open it up. If anybody thinks she sucks, please chime in the chat on either YouTube or Zoom.
Yes, and include your phone number so Gregory can call you after the show.
That would be nice. And if you could record that phone call so we can publish it on our Patreon only feed.
That would be questionably legal.
anything else, Gregory?
Hold up.
Holding up.
Okay, well, you can't just look for things to fight about, Gregory. There's other people.
I love it.
No. Hold up.
Okay. We're holding up. We are we're live, by the way.
This is a beautiful way to spend our evening, guys.
I love it. I'm pleased as punch.
I can't believe how much I apparently hate Natty Neidhart, by the way.
I can't believe you hate that.
Put it in this way. Now,
I'm gonna
put it in this way, ladies and gems. Mm-hmm. Natalia has 5 belts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The man has 6. And the man has been there in a shorter time than Natalia. Do you think that's fair? I rest my case, boys.
Yeah.
Have a nice 100% night.
I do think it's fair.
Have a nice night.
I think it's really fair. How many t-shirts has Daddy sold? Wow.
He logged himself out.
He hopped out. Yeah. Well, I mean, again.
He left the entire thing. He legit mic dropped his Zoom. He Zoom dropped.
Yeah.
That's the first Zoom drop I've ever seen in my life. That's incredible.
To quote the great Roddy Piper, he knew he was bringing a knife to a gunfight. So I would run too. Anyway, what else do we got?
That's it.
That's everybody. It.
That's last it. Call. If somebody wants to raise their hand right now, go for it. If not, that's it.
See, I love talking about wrestling, but if you want to argue with me, I will dominate the thing because frankly, I don't care. I love wrestling. And if you're going to find something to bitch about what you just watched, then stop watching. We all love wrestling. We all watch it. We all complain about it, but we all still friggin' love it. And don't try and tell me otherwise.
That is why we complain, Mike. That's the unfortunate part.
But that's what I mean, Boris.
It boggles my mind sometimes. It boggles my mind.
But that's what I mean, Boris. If it really bothered us that much, we would just stop watching. But we don't. And some people do, like, you know, and then you get the people who are like, they remind me of the people who are like, I don't even own a television. You know, I was like, oh, I don't watch WWE. But then they sound off for hours about what they think sucks about it.
Yep.
And I'm talking to some of you in the forum directly. And
vice versa. It works the other way around too, right? Like there's people who love to trash on AEW, but they know what's going on every Dynamite and Rampage.
Well, and here's the funny thing. Like, who was it, Jake? That was like, you know, I love you, man, but you're absolutely wrong. When I came in about just thinking Forbidden Door was an okay show. If you're a hardcore wrestling fan and you love everything that AEW does, good on you. That's your opinion. That's great. You paid the money for the pay-per-view. Personally, I feel you paid $60 to watch a lead into Blood and Guts. Because that's what the main event delivered. There was no closure on the main event. But that's that show. This is this show. And I think that honestly, it should be one of those things where, like, why do people just get so pissy about it? I don't get it.
There's a passion. I think when someone is so passionate about something, I don't know, it just, like, it brings out the worst sometimes in people, especially when you have access to other people and you can just like throw your opinion behind a keyboard, right? Like there's that aspect to it that has made social media kind of the cesspool that it is. But it's not just the wrestling fandom this way. It's tons of fandoms. Like you should just see the Star Wars fandom right now, especially with all the Disney Plus shows, right? It's just crazy. Right. Just, you know, I'm sure the Ghostbusters same way. Like there's people who hate everything.
Well, no, the Ghostbusters fans are pretty happy now because we just got a new movie announced. But, and speaking of which, today, as a matter of fact, I was in Fort McLeod, Alberta, which is one of the towns that they shot most of Afterlife in. So it was a fun day. I'll be posting pictures later. But on that note, for everybody, you know, and just keep this in mind. And this is just me talking. And I'm going to just take a little stand here. I love wrestling. I love radio. And if anybody wants to question my passion for it, I've been doing this friggin' show on the road for 2 months out of a trailer, paying a lot of money for data to get the show uploaded, working on interviews, getting jerked around for interviews, trying to bring you the best content we can, because frankly, there's a lot of friggin' wrestling podcasts out there. When I say that I appreciate everyone that listens to every show that us and our guys do, I mean it, because we're not doing it for anything other than the love of wrestling. So that's it.
Perfectly said, Mike. Really perfectly said.
I'm done.
We're done.
I can't do what he did because it's like a multi-step to tap. And I was going to just drop the call myself. But
it's different for us.
Yeah.
All right, so I think the next after party is going to be at the end of the month after SummerSlam for ROH. We will be doing an aftercast, it's a busy month, busy month, and it's a busy summer in the world of professional wrestling.
ROH sucks. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just want to.
Amazing.
Boy, I oughta. All right. I'm done. Send her home,
all
Mike.
Right. All right, everybody. Again, thank you. If you're a patron, thank you for supporting the show. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because if you know anything about my life, it hasn't been a fucking picnic for the last few months. And getting to hang out with you guys and talk wrestling is great. Boris has been working his tail off as well. He's the guy keeping the ship together as far as all the social media stuff as well. So big ups to him. Mark Andrada, who's busier than hell right now, still making time to make these shows look and sound good. So thank you, Mark, for all you do. And to everybody, thank you very much for being a part of the show tonight. This will be available for free for everyone. But don't forget, if you want to be a part of these shows, and sound off your opinion, please. It's welcome to join the Patreon. It's like $5 a month and you get everything and more. So that's it, everybody. Boris.
Thanks, everyone. And just remember, and this needs to go to a lot of people, stay tranquilo.
Thank you.